I'd like to discuss with you today a topic that I consider extremely basic, and it's the type of topic which is terribly demanding of any speaker on it. So demanding that, to be quite truthful with you, without all humility, I'm not qualified for. However, if we were to wait for people who are qualified to speak on this topic, we may never hear anything about it. And my feeling is that some discussion of it is to the best interests of the student body. I have, I guess you can start taping. I guess he started. You'll have to take my annoying comments along with it and charge me at the end. I have entitled the topic. I've given it a title so that if anybody asks you what's been going on in room, what is it, 102, 103, you can at least throw a few words in their direction and perhaps keep them happy. I've given it the title, and I've already mentioned this to one or two of my classes already, the halacha of the halacha. When I speak about the halacha of the halacha, I mean the authoritative basis of Torah in its fullest sense. What is its authority, and on what basis we owe our allegiance to it? Now, some of you might be able to think of more profound topics, perhaps some topics that have a little more style and flair to it, but I think as we develop this discussion, and incidentally, I'm sure that there will be numerous questions which, if you're here for at the end, when and if there is an end, I'll be glad to answer. Please understand that I am not going to present to you a shakla vitarya with a kash and a teretz and another kash and another teretz, because most of you will get lost, and I probably will too. So I'm going to present it in a form of statements with explanations, and if some of you think that I've overlooked one thing or another, I may have to be quite truthful. But in many cases, I am purposely omitting certain things because I consider them details, certain matters subject to controversy that are not of the greatest import. And our time is limited. It is limited, I guess. And I want to get the main ideas across. Now, I mentioned before that I have a great deal of reticence. Frankly, I'm a little shy speaking about this because of my own personal lack. But I say there's a tremendous need. There's a tremendous need because we live in times, and I'm not saying that these times are particularly worse than some other times. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but they're not too good. And because of this, these are times in which we must fully understand the nature of the authority of the halacha. There were times when the authority of the halacha and our allegiance to it was a rather simple matter. It just wasn't thought of. It wasn't thought of much as we don't think about breathing air or performing most of the normal reflex functions. But we live in a very critical age, a free-thinking age, an age in which there is free inquiry. And because of this, and I wish some of you in the back be patient with me, I may draw this out quite a bit, but I have to create a certain emotional background for this, because it's not going to be pure dry lecture. In fact, I have four topics in mind, or four categories. It's going to involve history, as little as I know of it, but a little history. Going to, of course, involve halacha, It's going to involve theology. I hope some of you know what that means. And it's going to involve a fourth, and I think a very important binding ingredient, sometimes unpopularly referred to as Musar. So in this day and age, and this has been going on for quite a bit, there have been some very severe attacks on Torah and its authority. And I will begin a discussion of this. Now, I am primarily concerned with you today in discussing the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh, the authority of Chazal in the halachic realm, and I emphasize in the halachic realm, because I'm not going to discuss Chazal in the realm of Agadita. This is also a very important domain, and it is certainly not one to be slighted or one to be looked down upon. It's of tremendous importance too. But we're limiting ourselves, so please realize that I am limiting myself to the authority of Chazal in the domain of Halacha. And let us begin. But I cannot begin, and some of you are going to think that I'm continuing with this verbosity and this talkativeness, but I find it extremely important to start with a certain historical event. I would say, the most important historical event for Klal Yisrael, and I must say, of course, for Klal Yisrael, that are Ma'aminim Toras Hashem, and that is Maimed Har Sinai. In Maimed Har Sinai, Yahadus looks at it, and I'm not going to describe the fires, the flames, the smoke. The Chumash explains that well enough, and the Mefarshim discuss it. I want to evaluate for you its meaning and significance in terms of today's topic. And the Maimed Har Sinai indicates and tells the Jew the following. First and foremost, and this we know from, of course, prior history, there is a God in the world. There is a supreme being. And when we speak of a supreme being, and this is very important to the topic, because we must realize that the authority of the halacha and its validity to a Jew, to Klal Yisrael, does not compare, although there may be certain points for comparison, does not compare to the authority and the allegiance of Americans to American law, or French to French law, or for that matter, Israelis to Israeli law. It involves certain basic theological commitments. And these theological commitments are not to be taken in any light or skeptical vein. They involve full intellectual and emotional commitment. I was talking to a student of mine recently, in which I told him that to that extent that one's commitment to belief in God as a supreme being, without any fancy footwork used by existentialists and other modern philosophies, the commitment to this belief must be, or at least we must strive for, if we have not reached that madrega, a full, uncompromising conviction and belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And to the extent that it is missing, it will not only affect clearly our emunah, it is going to spread through like an infectious disease through our entire life as a Jew. You know, today they make fun, and I support this view. The type of Jew who is called orthoprax, in which he practices orthodoxy, practices tayag mitzvos, but his commitment is, to say the most for it, quite weak. And we have a nun mean brio. We have all sorts of brios in this world. But this is a nun mean brio. And of course, I cannot sympathize with this view. I realize that certain Jews do not want to cut their emotional ties with their people and with their religion and with their faith and with their culture. And I won't poke fun at it because perhaps it's better than nothing. I imagine so. They will not assimilate as rapidly, and as a Rebbe of mine once said, perhaps Mashiach will come when they're still Jews. So I'm not going to poke fun at it in any social sense. But in terms of real Jewish living and meaningful Jewish living, it is absolute and utter nonsense. Perhaps it's worse than that. Perhaps it's a form of Avodah Zarah. It becomes a cult. It becomes a practice that is not based on solid theological grounds. And when I say theological grounds, I mean a basis of truth. Our conviction in God is on the basis that it is true. Not that it's someone's imagination and it's someone's axiom that we work with, and tomorrow we can drop the axiom and work with another religious system. So we must remember that in Maimon Har Sinai, we recognize this not as just a moment great for Klal Yisrael, but it's a moment in which God, the supreme being of the world, revealed himself to Klal Yisrael. And the nature of the revelation involved transmission to Klal Yisrael, and in the main through Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah. The Torah being the divine will in which God desires, enjoins, commands, and a few other verbs that will make it as clear can be, demands of Klal Yisrael. And incidentally, the Rambam adds, although it's somewhat diversionary, the fact that at the moment of Har Sinai, Bnei Noach also became responsible, especially responsible, although they were responsible before, to the Zion Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But I'm discussing Klal Yisrael. People are talking about civil rights. I would feel somewhat bigoted if I didn't mention the Goyim in a lecture, so I mentioned them, all right? Yitzhak then. In this Maimed Har Sinai, God has indicated clearly through Moshe Rabbeinu and through the revelation and the whole scene of Maimed Har Sinai, which is not to be taken in any symbolic or fictional sense, Chas V'Chalila, and there is a will of God there, and it is generally formulated in terms of Taryag Mitzvos. Commandments that we as Jews observe, and in this way identify ourselves as a particular national religious unit dedicated to the propagation of the knowledge of God, the will of God on this earth, and I guess the moon. Now, this divine will, Chazal, and let me tell you, what I am telling you today is, I'd say, 1,000, 1,000,000th of it is my own contribution. But I must say that it's as I understand it, my Rebbeim have taught it to me, and as the Mefarshim say that all the Svarim that we learn today, whether it's from a Ramban or from a Rambam, these are our Rebbeim, that our Rebbeim have taught me, and if I am in error, I'll be glad to admit it. But I, of course, am speaking my mind, so I speak as I understand it and as I've been taught. So what I say will, of course, be what the Mefarshim, Chazal, Mefarshim say. And as a common denominator, and if there is going to be a machlokis about what I say, please understand, I will tell you that it's a machlokis. But otherwise, it's a common denominator to Yahadus. Of course, exclusive of any atheistic movement within Yahadus. And there have been quite a few in Yahadus, that have left Yahadus, I should say, outside of Yahadus. And I will make reference to them in the course of the discussion. Now, Torah is divided into two parts. And if you want verification for all this, plenty of verification. Whatever statements I make, you can note them down. You can ask me later, where do I look this up? Where do I find out about this? I can send you to the sources. But I'm going to make these as statements with and develop it. There is Torah Shebiksav, and there is Torah Shebal Peh. What does Torah Shebiksav mean? Well, that's reasonably easy. Toras Moshe, as we have it. Torah's Moshe as we have it, and our belief that this is Torah's Moshe, that this is the Devar Hashem. And when I say the Devar Hashem, I don't mean to play with words here, because there's a lot of playing around with words here. And as the Rambam puts it in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, that if one thinks, believes, has an idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, Kosav, Teva Achas, one word, Midato, without the consent or direction of the Ribono Shel Olam, Hareza Kofer Batorah, he is a Kofer. Once you are a Kofer, once a person is a Kofer, he is philosophically and ideologically outside the pale of Yahadus, outside the pale of historical Yahadus. And unfortunately, there are many Jews today that are outside this pale. And I'm independent enough, I am poor enough to make this statement without worrying about certain consequences that might be unhappy. But it's a fact that they are outside. Now, in many cases, it may not be due to their fault. It may be a result of their upbringing. Well, we're not going to discuss whether the Chayiv Miser, they lose the Chelek in Olam Haba, whether they're postulators. These are halachic questions that have to be considered very carefully. But one thing I must say, it is not Yahadus unless you make this commitment. And this is a Dover Borer, this is a Dover Muskam, and anyone who thinks otherwise is just outside the pale of historical Judaism as orthodoxy. I guess you find in conservative and reform, they will of course not say that reform Judaism was discovered 100 or 200 years ago, nor will they say that conservative Judaism was discovered 50 or 100 years ago. They will say theirs is historical Judaism. But I think you know what I mean when I say that in terms of our tradition, moving aside conservatism or reform, this is very fundamental to the Amunah, and of course, essentially as fundamental as our Amunah and the Ribono Shel Olam himself. That's with reference to Torah Shebiksav. I want to make another point about Torah Shebiksav. The Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, in his discussion of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, and once again, there are sources for all these things, but there's no point in my telling you he says it there. You're worried about it, you'll ask me later, I'll tell you where he says it. Because much of what he does say is spread out in many places, and I don't want to consume the time on that. He says, in fact, the Rambam was one who objected to people standing up during the Aseres Hadibros, if they were sitting throughout. Of course, if you stand, you don't have to sit down for the Aseres Hadibros. I guess we understand that. But he objected very strenuously to people standing, especially for the Aseres Hadibros or for the Shira. The reason is because in terms of Ikrei Hayadus, there is no difference between Anochi Hashem Elokecha in terms of the origin. Perhaps the idea is not as noble, but in terms of its origin, there is no difference between Anochi Hashem Elokecha or Vachos Lotan Timna. Did you ever hear that pasuk? Don't worry about it. Somewhere's at the end of Ayishlach. And the Rambam also adds in his discussion reference to Torah Shebiksav that in Torah Shebiksav there are plos, great wonders, amazing things. And if you conceive of Torah Shebiksav as a fine, masterly, developed literary document with the vouching of the divine imprint on it, and that's about it, there's kfir in that too. Because this being the Devar Hashem, and realizing that we are not God, and this is very important, we must realize that we are not God. You might say, of course, who thought that we were? But in a society that today believes that man is the end-all, the be-all and end-all of existence, you see, it becomes very difficult for him to conceive that there is a higher wisdom. And even if he is willing to admit there's a higher wisdom, for him to think that this higher wisdom is beyond his concept and beyond his comprehension, becomes exceptionally difficult. But this is the nature of our belief in Yahadus. And therefore, in our Torah Shebiksav, there are amazing things, endless wonders within it. Of course, we, through study, analysis, and I might also add something very important, Kedusha v'tahara, Balitaiva, Atzlanim, who approach Torah, and study Torah mole tavosam, they will not be masik Torah. There are ample psukim to indicate that besides intellectual brain power and the force of one's intellectual wits, there must be kedusha v'tahara. Doesn't of course mean you have to go to the mikveh every morning, but the entire personality has to be a personality related to kedusha. I hope you intuitively grasp what I mean by that, because if I went off on that, goodbye. As the Rambam in apparent final exasperation says, Ein lanu, it's an approximate quote. In fact, many of the quotes I make will be approximate. I say so right now, even of the psukim, although I shouldn't quote them approximately, but I want to, for speed, and we're going slow enough as is. We're going at snail's pace. Oh, yeah, yeah. What's that sign? In fact, I'm beginning to think that some of you suspect that I cannot end any drasha I begin, because were I to end it, I would end up with nothing. And in order to avoid that eventful or that horrible climax, I stall. Believe me, it's not that, but I become wound up on these topics, and I just have to talk. And believe me, any of you can pick yourselves up and walk away anytime you like. Just do it with a minimum of commotion. But I think these are very solid nails that must be knocked in. And unless they're knocked in, the ship is going to, shake. And once it starts shaking, everything is going to shake. So the Rambam says, Ein lanu ela divrei David shomer gal einai. I have to translate. Open my eyes, the abita niflos mitarasecha. I think you can figure that out yourself. I didn't realize Chelsea's here. Now we come over to Torah Shebal Peh. In Torah Shebal Peh, and this is, from a historical point of view, much more elusive. You know, we b'teva, man b'teva, is an oved avodah zarah. He wants the object. It's a cooking up a Rambam. You know, if I had to have a Rambam here, I probably wouldn't open it during the whole drasha. Had to have a Rambam. It's something concrete. So it has to be teif or something. So Mamela Torah Shabiksav, you know, of course, people are more ready and willing to submit to. But this Torah Shebal Peh is a very elusive item. What is Torah Shebal Peh? And what is the emunah of historic Judaism? And when I say historic Judaism, I mean, what should I say, for modern consumption, orthodoxy, for Hebraic consumption, the Mesorah HaMitis, and for rabbis, Torah true Judaism. Translate into any language you like. If I use historic Judaism, I'm going to be of gehakt at soas for one simple reason, because in conservative circles, they refer to theirs as historic Judaism. And I want to speak in terms of truth, so I have to go back to real history. I can't go back to fictional history, so I have to say historic Judaism. What is Torah Shebal Peh? So our emuna is that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, was not busy playing checkers. It's very important. He wasn't playing checkers, or for that matter, chess. And the Ribono Shel Olam was moser to him, among other things, which in the realms of Agadita and Chveis and Chachmas HaTeva and other things I'm not going into, but in terms of Halacha, he gave to Moshe Rabbeinu a Perush Mekubal on Kol Mitzvah HaTorah. As the Rambam explains in his Agdama to Zroim, describing to him, this is how Mitzvah Aleph is supposed to be Mekuyam, this is how Mitzvah Beis is supposed to be Mekuyam, a Seder for the kiyum of each one of these mitzvos. Esrog was not a conjecture or something created by some future generations, but the Esrog was something that the Ribono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of pre-Eitz Hadar. And so, as you go on, there is what is known as, the Rambam refers to it as the Perushim Mikubalim, that along with the Torah Shebiksav, there is a Torah Shebal Peh, which explains each one of the mitzvos. And the Perushim Mekubalim could be referred to, I'll refer to them as Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, although there are different ways of referring to it. But the important idea I want to communicate is there's a system of revealed halacha that we have bi'al peh. Now, of course, now it's written down in the Gemara, but I think you know that there were times when things weren't written down. Everything was nimsar bi'al peh. And this whole halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, which explained each one of the mitzvos, was nimsar l'moshe rabbeinu. And this was nimsar l'moshe rabbeinu. And the Rambam explains this revealed law, this Torah shebal peh, with the Torah shebiksav, were handed down from generation to generation. In fact, the Ibn Ezra points out that those who seek to lessen or completely eradicate the authority of the Torah shebal peh are not only kofrim, but they're somewhat foolish too. Because, remember, even Torah shebiksav is bi'al peh. Why is Torah shebiksav bi'al peh? Because you always depend on transmission. Has there been transmission? Has Torah shebiksav been transmitted or hasn't it? Our emunah is that it is. Likewise, our emunah is that Torah shebiksav bi'al peh has been transmitted. And the Rambam says, when he speaks about, in Hichos Tshuva, gee, I gave one source. Don't worry, I didn't give the perek. I don't even remember it. When he speaks about the kofer in Batorah, he speaks about not only one who is kofer in the Torah shebiksav, but one who is kofer in the Torah shebal peh, and the Torah shebal peh in the way that I have defined it, the revealed oral law, and he is kofer in the existence, and of course this was the kfira of the karoyim, this was the kfira of the karoyim, who said that there was no oral revealed law. And the Rambam says, kofer b'Torah shebal peh u'magideha. Because obviously, there must be a vehicle for the transmission of this Torah shebal peh. Now, I guess the Torah shebiksav has a more much easier means of transmission. Have a scribe copy it. But when you have the transmission of Torah shebal peh, it needs chachamim gedolim to transmit it in its entirety, in its purest form, without distortions. So that's part of the emunah in Maimon Har Sinai. And let me also, in reference to that which is Torah shebiksav and Torah shebal peh, remind you that it is in reference to this segment that the halacha, and this is part of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, and this is accepted by all, Shelo tehe ha-Torah muchlefes. Shall I sing with you? Lo ya chalifa kel. You know what you're singing there? You're singing the effect that there can be no chiluf of Torah, no change. And by the way, of course, you see, as you go through history, this is, of course, where Christianity turned off. As we go through these Ikarim, I could point out to you various religious movements that broke off from the mainstream of historic Judaism. And this is one of the basic issues on which Christianity turned off. Turned off on a few other things too, but so please remember, Torah shebiksav and Torah shebal peh as I've defined it is axiomatic, but not axiomatic in the mathematical sense. Because axiomatic in the mathematical sense only means that if you want to discuss a certain mathematical system, you operate with this axiom system and go vaito. But if you want to drop it and tomorrow start with another axiom system, you can do that. You cannot do that with the Torah's axiomatic system. Because the mathematical axiom system is either intuition, which is certainly questionable, and very often it's just a postulation, a statement, a definition, a formulation, without any necessary or provable basis in truth. The concept of Shelotei HaTorah Mukhlefes involves that which is truth. Truth. Of course, I can belabor the word truth, but I think most of us have a fairly unsophisticated concept of what truth is. And keeping it in that naive, simple concept of what truth is, this is permanent truth, unchangeable, no matter what or who may come. Now, of course, somebody says to himself, is that so? Don't we see that Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel was makriv a carbon? And how can you be makriv a carbon? There's one of the mitzvot HaTorah is not to be makriv a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. And you can ask me lots of questions on everything I say, but I'm telling you, believe me, I have answers for most of them. Some points undoubtedly have difficulties. Our minds are not pure, our minds are not clear, we don't know everything. But most of these questions can be answered quite well. And let it be that. Now, I've discussed a certain moment in Jewish history, Maimon Har Sinai. Now, in whom was vested the trust and power of transmitting the Torah? Torah Shebiksav, which is transmitted with some ease, and more important yet, the Torah Shebaal Peh. This was handed over to Moshe, Moshe to Yoshua. And I think you remember Pirkei Avos a little. That's one Masech that some of us are familiar with, especially if we want to eat meat during the 9 days. Was that too nasty? It's probably illegal too. But at any rate, you've heard drashas on at least the first parak in Pirkei Avos. Zakenim, Neviim, Anshe Knesset Hagadola. The Rambam describes this. All the other Rishonim describe it. There was a Mesorah. And the Chachmei Hador, and until the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Chachmei Hador were generally concentrated in the Beis Din HaGadol. To help you understand what Beis Din HaGadol is, I can't translate the big Beis Din. I have to use the word supreme, and I have to use the word court, I guess. A Jewish Supreme Court. But, I want you to understand, do not start identifying it with the functions of our Supreme Court here, because they're just radical differences. Certain similarities, but radical differences. Time to go. Now, I'm going to speak about the Beis Din HaGadol, not in reference to its powers to paskin a din about ir hanidachas, its power to appoint a melech, its power to initiate a milchama. You look in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, makes a list of the things that which a Beis Din HaGadol could paskin, that which a Beis Din of 23 could paskin, that which a Beis Din of Gimel could paskin. I'm not discussing the power of psak in terms of dealing with cases and deciding them. I'm concerned with Beis Din HaGadol in two vital roles, and that is as transmitters of the Torah Shebaal Peh and their legislative power. Let me explain these two ideas. First, in the Beis Din HaGadol, and when I say the Beis Din HaGadol, because they symbolize the Chachmei Hador. The Chachmei Hador were in the Beis Din HaGadol. Moshe, his Beis Din HaGadol. Yahushua, in his Beis Din HaGadol. Etc., so on through the generations. Now, their power, their function as transmitters, the Beis Din HaGadol. I'll tell you, in about 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to have to stop for a couple of minutes. This is taking a toll of me. I don't know why, but a couple of minutes, I'll need a little rest. Their function as transmitters of the Torah Shebaal Peh, they had the responsibility. It was their achrayus, as the Rambam puts it, Haim Iker Torah Shebaal Peh. It was in their hands and in their devotion and in their kochos and in their dedication and in their talent to transmit the Torah Shebaal Peh with absolute accuracy that the human being is capable of. And this was their responsibility, midor doros. And please keep in mind that this was done bi'al peh, we of course find the whole concept almost impossible, because the idea of someone knowing Torah, mamish bial peh. Now I don't think I could. It would take me 2 days to memorize an Amud Gemara. To know Torah shebal peh in this vast sense is, in a sense, something that defies our imagination. But the fact is that our Chachmei Hador were capable of this, because the human koah, the talent of the human person is only limited by the fact that he is not divine. But Moshe Rabbeinu reached Vat Chasreu Me'at Me'elokim, and so can other Gedolei Hador, perhaps not Moshe, but near to it, and therefore able to comprehend, realize, and transmit with accuracy the Torah Shebaal Peh that they received from Moshe, and so on through the generations. That was one very important function. Another very important function, and this is a function that is misunderstood, tremendous controversies broke out among the Rishonim trying to understand this fully, but what I give you, I think, is quite accepted. It's, as far as I know, the common denominator of the views of Kimat all the Rishonim. And when I say call it all the Rishonim, that's like saying that's Jewish tradition, because we only know our Torah from our Achronim, from our Rishonim, and what our Rishonim tell us, especially if they tell us Pe'echad, is our Mesorah. And if we start putting kinks into what our Rishonim tell us, well, it's time to shut the tape recorders off and go and hide away someplace, or I don't know, do just the reverse. This second function revolved around the power of legislation. What's pshat legislation? How do you legislate divine law? The divine law was given. The Ribbono Shel Olam, in giving Torah to Klal Yisrael, realized full well that he is not going to give Moshe Rabbeinu or the Shivim Zakenim every possibility that can come up in terms of human existence. There are the basics, the pratim, in terms of kiyum hamitzvos, and day-to-day living produces situations, problems, complications of situations, and the chachamim. And when I say the Chachamim, I don't mean somebody gekvetched in Avenko. I mean the Bez Nagadol, the Chachmei Hador, were responsible in these new situations to look into the Torah Shebiksav carefully, utilizing the Yudgimel Midos Sha'atara Nidreshes Bahen as a technique, as an instrument of interpretation. Look into the Torah Shebaal Peh that they received and carefully analyze and come to conclusions and develop ideas. And then there would be a discussion in this Bez Nagadol. Some would have one idea and some would have another idea. You see what I'm doing right now? We are generating the condition and situation where there is controversy, where there is machlokas. And this would be the original situation in which machlokas arises. There are many other situations, far more complicated situations of machlokas. But this is a very natural circumstance for controversy. And there would be a discussion among the Chachmei Hador and the Bez Nagadol. And they would discuss it. And not always would they come to quick resolutions. They would hold off sometimes on coming to a decision. They would discuss it and rediscuss it, and then they would come to a decision. They would come to a decision based on the Yesed HaYesedis in the entire judicial system, the halachic system of Achrei Rabim Lahatos. And as soon as the Bez Din HaGadol paskened the halacha, that the halacha is Aleph, or the halacha is base, that was the Ratzein HaTorah, and that was the Ratzein HaShem. And this is not an easy concept, because people start confusing themselves and say, what's going on here? If Torah is divine, what has a person got to do with kvetching on? If it's divine, push the button, let me hear what God has to say. Push the Urim Betumim, ich weiß, go over to the Urim Betumim and let the Kohen Gadol there spit out the information and tell us what to do and what not to do. Gefinished. And if we're going to make interpretations, so where's divinity? The crass, base, low human being is involved. How can he deal with the divine? Man is too low. Well, this also is Yesod HaYesodos, that the concept of Torah involves man's participation. Oh, does this sound like conservative Judaism? My, I better be careful what I say. Watch that tape recorder. Tape recorder, be careful what you do to me. That the Chachmei Hador, and I'm going to add in a chumivot to be mechaper on what I'm saying, but it's meaningful. The Ruach Kodshon, worried about that word? I guess you're only used to hearing that about the Zohar and Rashi and the Torah too. Chazal beruach kodshon. Now what do I mean? Let me add, the Rambam was not given to throwing around funkites around. Anybody who's experienced learning the Rambam just didn't toss words around. He meant something when he said it. It wasn't just the l'teisefes beur or lehidur hamachshave. Says the paraphrasing a pasuk in Daniel, I should say Daniel. The ruach el king kodshin bay at ruach hakodeshin. What's pshat ruach hakodesh? That their madrega of machshave was such that they had great intellectual prowess, and I said before, the Kedusha Ubitahara. It's very important. The Jewish concept is that Chochma is given, there is a divine channel. It's not stam, a man has a certain amount of neurons or convolutions, and otot, if he's in a good mood, he thinks of a lot of good svaras, and if he's in a bad mood, he doesn't think good svaras. That is partially true. I'm not going to negate that. But certainly in the realm of Torah, Kimi piv chachma utavuna. Pasuk in Mishlei, I fetched it quite often in the Mishlei class. That there are channels through which God inspires. God inspires man, the ruach kodshim, to think in divrei Torah. And there are higher and higher madregos. And we do not know the limit, and we do not know the end, short of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So I therefore say that they had controversy, but they on their madrega, being Chachmei Hador, infused with the spirit of Torah in its fullest, were machria, and their decision became Torah law. Further, it became the will of God, and there is ample evidence for this concept throughout Chazal. This became the will of God. Not only was the will of God that which we have in Torah Shebiksav, not only which we have the Torah Shebal Peh in the form of the revealed oral law, but also in which the Chachmei Hador legislated via the Yigimel Mido Shatar Nidreshes Ben and via Bichlal, Pshat in the Pasuk and Svaroso in B'Torah. Now, this process went on. You don't have a seat, Baron? This process continued on Midor Doros. In fact, I don't quite recall, pointed out, do you know that this process of being Doresh, Biyud Gimel Mido Shatur Nidreshes Ben, started in Bezdino Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was already involved in this legislative process of being Doresh Mikros. There are riyas to all this. I'm making statements and giving you the ideas. This process went on. Bezdino Shel Yoshua did what? Of course, the Torah Shebiksav was there. And they, by the way, were very careful to make certain that the Torah Shebiktav was not distorted. See, there was a hashgacha. There was a hashgacha on the Torah Shebiktav too. But I'm going to stress more the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they transmitted what? The Torah Shebaal Peh in the form of the oral revealed law of the Har Sinai, and they also received the legislative chidushim and creativity of the previous generation. The next generation did the same thing. And gradually there was a whole growing and developing of Torah in that way. But remember, all this is the Devar Hashem. These are not Drabbanans. These are not Drabbanans. But I'm now going to say something which may have appeared to be an about face. And furthermore, much of what I'm going to say, to some I'm afraid, may appear to be somewhat reactionary. But believe me, I am going out on a limb in what I say. I don't think that what I'm saying is gekvetched. I think it's true. I personally believe that this is true. But believe me, there are certain views to the right that would, I don't know, they wouldn't say that what I'm saying is apikarsis. They might be a little unhappy because I'm throwing the human being in there too much. But what I do feel, and I mean this I feel with all my heart, going beyond these definitions will put the person with outside the pale of historic Judaism. So we now come to an idea that is not easy to understand. We have the chidushei, the halachas that were mechudesh by each Bezdin Hagadol. The Rambam says, as far as I know, there is no disagreement based on the pasuk in Shoftim el Hashofet Hashegiyah b'yamecha, that a succeeding Bezdin Hagadol, if it disputes for certain reasons, as they understand Torah, whether they be a greater Bezdin or a lesser Bezdin, the Bezdin of each Dor was given the power to transmit and to interpret. And if a Bezdin of a certain Dor disagrees, not chas v'chalila, with the divine oral law, because with that there can be no disagreement. If you disagree with the Ribbono Shleilam, either you're a kofer or a meshuganev. There is no other alternative. Yeah. Now, they have the power. And the Torah has given the Chachmei Ador the power to dispute one of the creative decisions of a previous Bezdin if they think that their Svara is better, and they can don and change. Be careful about that word change. They can make a new decision, which as a result now becomes, and I hope this doesn't sound like playing with God's will too much, be very careful, these are very subtle concepts. Of course, if you've lived with them for a while, you can consider them dvarim pshutim. But if you're first being exposed, and if you have not really mulled over it carefully and thoroughly enough, it sounds very strange. It's to be given very careful thought. If a Bezdin now paskins that the Din is not Aleph, as a previous Bezdin had said, remember we're only talking about the creative legislation of each Bezdin, because I'm afraid, and undoubtedly it will happen, Rabbi Parnas said that you can change Torah. See, be very careful what I said, who can change and what can be changed. Very important. Alright. And once that Bezdin Hagadol decides that the halacha is not to be aleph, But the halacha is to be beis, that is the Ritzon Hashem, that is Dvar Torah, that becomes the truth of Torah. That becomes the will of God. Very important. It becomes the will of God because that is what God willed. God willed that the Chachmei Hadar have this power and freedom. Philosophically, this can be explained. We have to go into a philosophical discussion of why this way and why not. In other words, the old philosophical problem is why this is the best of all worlds. To tell you the truth, I don't know whether it is the best of all worlds, but it's the world that God wanted us to live in, whether it be the best or just medium. Now, also, another important function of the Bezen HaGadol, besides transmission, besides creative legislation, by creative legislation I mean in the form of interpretation of the Torah, there is the realm, I shall refer to it as, well, it's the Rabbanans, basically as corrective legislation. By corrective legislation, gee, it's a new terminology, I may become famous someday. What this means is essentially Xeros Vitakonos, Syogin La Torah. There's an inyan of Shmiras HaTorah. Chazal Chachmei Hadar were entrusted with the responsibility of securing not only from Klal Yisrael the fulfillment of Torah, but to Lishmar Es HaTorah. And do you know what Lishmar Es HaTorah mean? And as some of you say, observe it. What it really means is pshuto kimashmo, protect it. And when you protect something, what do? You do certain things to guard it. Now, in the realm of the halakhic world, the guarding is not in the form of barbed wire. There are other kinds. There are halakhic guards. And you know the concept of gzera. Chazal will say, do not do this, although in essence the Torah did not asser it. In essence, Chazal did not asser it through creative legislation of the Yud-Gimel Midos. But because Chachmei HaTorah are entrusted with the protection of the law wherever necessary, Chazal legislated, I call it corrective legislation, to make sure that the Kiyum HaTorah does not get out of hand, and that Klal Yisrael remains dedicated and consistent with the correct fulfillment, proper fulfillment of Torah. Alright, I'd like to just stop for a minute right now. A little unfortunate. Some people I wanted them to hear certain things, but I guess they can get it through the tape. You see, because what I have done in the first hour is purely introductory. Purely introductory. Because what I said up to now was, I mean, no one can contend, I mean, unless you're a Karoi or unless you're a Christian, no one's going to contend with this. And there's no reason for me to get excited now and not have been excited 20 years ago or be excited 20 years from now. I want to discuss more down-to-earth issues. It'll take a little while, but we'll get to it, I hope. Right. Now, we were speaking about the Bezen HaGadol and its powers. And we mentioned, I think, three. Power of trust. The trust of transmission, the power of creative legislation, and the power of corrective legislation. In Beit Halashon we'll say, to be Moser, the Torah Shebal Peh, the divine oral law, number one. Number two, to be Darish Dini HaTorah. And I said they were Daraisa, they were the Ritzon Hashem. And then, of course, there's the Drabbanans. The Drabbanans, of course, are the Ritzon Hashem, but not in the same sense as the Yud Gimel Midos. There are differences, but I'm not going to spend time on that. Now we come to Tachlis. Tachlis, what do I mean by Tachlis? Up to now, we've been talking about Bezen HaGadol as a force, a movement, a tradition, an institution. How does that affect us? Why do we have to follow it? Why do we have to follow it? Now, I already pointed out with respect to the transmission of the oral law, it would be kfira if we were not to believe that they have transmitted the oral divine law. That the Rambam and everybody says is kfira. All right? Fine. What if, however, what binds us to fulfilling that which Chazal legislated through the process of Yud Gimel Midos, or which they legislated in the form of Takanos and Gzeros? Now, of course, you can say, well, this is the Ritzon Hashem. This is the Ritzon Hashem. So in its basic essence, we're supposed to do it because it's the Ritzon Hashem. But, you know, every Ritzon Hashem has a formulation, either an asay, a losase, an iser. How is this chiyuv to submit to the dictum of the Bezen Hagadol? What is the halachic formulation? So I don't want to listen to God. I mean, you know, it's shtus, but am I violating anything? Am I going to be punished for it? What is the nature of the transgression? So, there's a very important lav in the Torah, the lav of lo susser. It's actually in the form of a mitzvah sasei tu kichol asher yorucha. This is in the Seder of Shoftim. If a person violates these laws that we've spoken of because he feels that the he does not want to submit to their will, let's say he feels they made a mistake, he feels their svar was wrong, feels their takana was not sufficiently warranted. Mind you, somebody violates anything from what from the Bezen HaGadol says because he is human, he has his weaknesses. That's a pashut balavera about which we speak about b'chol haTorah kula. A pashut balavera, a pashut rasha. This rasha is much more sophisticated. He violates because he feels the chachamim were in error. He generally believes in the power of the chachamim, their power of transmission. Otherwise he'd be a kofer if he didn't believe in the whole koach of Torah Shebal Peh Umagideha. But he disputes them on a certain issue. And he doesn't want to do it. So what is he violating? He's violating the lav of Lo Sosur. Lo Sosur Michal Adavar Sher Yerucham. Yomin Usmo. Violating a lav. Too bad, however, we can't give him Malkus. We can't give him Malkus because this lav, which applies to everyone, Zachari Munikevos. Maybe not the Ketanim, but only because they're part of all mitzvahs. It applies to all. But for this lav, although it's obviously a lav sheyesh bo ma'aser, there is no malchus. Why is there no malchus? So Chazal explained, because it's a lav shenitan las haras misas bezdin. In a certain way, you can be over this lav and be chayv misa. Now, I think you know that there are certain lav in you can violate and not be chayv misa, and yet be violate that lav in a certain way and be chayv misa. Edu sheker, you know, by edim zomimim, you can end up being chayv misa if you're edim zomimim, and if you're stam edu sheker, you're not chayv misa. There are many examples. Here we have a lav shenitan las horas misas bezdin. And what is, how does that come about? Well, this is known as the parsha of Zakin Mamre. What is the parsha of Zakin Mamre? Parsha of Zakin Mamre is a gadol batorah. Doesn't apply to Ichveis, us high school Rosh Hashivas. I mean a real gadol batorah, who is mechachmei hamesara, chachmei hakabol. He was mekabel Torah too. He's from the chachmei hador. And he got himself into a little argument, a big argument, a very big argument. So big that it reached, after several appeals, to the Bezen HaGadol b'Yerushalayim. And the Bezen HaGadol decided against him. And he disputed their psak. And he was so so violent or so forceful about his psak that he went back to his hometown, and he either followed his own opinion against the psak of the Bezna Gadol, he followed his own opinion in practice, limaisa, or he directed others. He didn't do it personally. I guess, let's say the situation didn't arise. He directed others to do it. If there's zokin, and that's why he's not called a mamre. What is a mamre? A rebellious one. He's a zokin mamre. He's one of the chachmei ha-kabbalah. Because stava shnuk, he's over the lav, he's not even worth the chiyuv misa. Because there would be no disastrous calamity resulting from some shnuk doing it, except his own averet. But when a zokin michachmei hador starts divisive tactics of this sort and acts or directs others to act based on his svaris, as high, fine, and beautiful as they might be, there's a violation of lo sasur. And when it reaches the point where he tells people to do or he does himself, he is chai of misa. He is chai of misa. I've had a little difficulty understanding how one of the chachmei ha-kabbalah could do something like this. That requires a separate discussion. But that is chachmei, that is the case of zokin mamre. All right. Now we're going to touch a more sensitive issue. What if a person disputes the Beis Din HaGadol? He doesn't like the svaris. Remember, part of the function of Beis Din HaGadol was to be involved in creative and interpretive legislation. So that depends on svaris. Or for that matter, on Kabbalas. And he argues, but he says, look, I know the din in the Torah, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. That's a law. I accept it. However, he is so enamored, and I guess from an intellectual point of view, he may feel that way, and he would be entitled to his own thinking. He thinks that his svara is right, and he propagates his svara, and he says this is the correct svara. Now, what's the status of this person? I've done a lot of research. And I'll be quite truthful with you. It is not perfectly clear to me what his status is. I'll give some indications of what is involved. This deals with a Mishnah in Eduyos. It is Mashma from the Rambam. And from Gemara and Brochus, as sources. All right, tell you sources some other time. That this can be objectionable, and it can be permissible. It depends on its direction and flow. The Rambam says that a person like this who actively and consciously and vigorously propagates his views without, of course, touching the psak halacha, says Yesh lebezdin lahafrosha lahafrisho lahalkoso lenadoso kfirose neim. In other words, it is up to the bezdin itself to recognize whether there is a danger in what this person is doing, and there could be a danger. How can there be a danger? Because after all, there is a halacha, the halacha of the Beis Din HaGadol, and if his views are propagated with great intensity, you know, it's quite possible that people will take it to heart, take it seriously, and violate the Torah. So, as a result, it is lefi ra'os ha-bezdin, how to treat a situation like this, depending on whether there are clear, immediate, present dangers in this attitude of the zokin mamre. Remember, he has not been more lasos, or he has not been osa biatzma, because had he done that, he would be chayav misa. But he is accepting the authority and the validity of the halacha, but he's being cholek on the svara. So, this depends on lefi reos habezdin of the door, of the bezdin agadol of that door, to see to. In fact, according to some afarshim, Akavya ben Malalel was put in cherem, because he persisted in a certain view, not lemaisa, but he persisted in a certain view, and according to some rishonim, he was put in cherem. Because Akavya ben Mahalalel was a very authoritative, one of the Chachmei HaKabbalah, and according to some Rishonim, he was put in Cherem. Other Rishonim interpret the Maisa there differently. But I'm trying to show you, this has in it implicit dangers, but it in and for itself cannot mamish be defined as Isur. Isur in itself, at least not based on the investigations that I have made. Now, I doubt whether I've gone through all the sources. If I ever get new information, we'll be Maisif to the tape. In other words, this is a what I would consider a critical situation that requires the hashkochas habezdin. It can be harmless and it can be harmful. Depending on that, the bezdin hagadol would have to be the arbiter of that. Just as the bezdin hagadol is the arbiter of any situation that comes up in the life of Klal Yisrael. All right. Now, this concludes... the second part. We're making a lot of progress. This concludes the second part relating to the authority of the Bezdin Hagadol. Now I come to the third and most crucial part. You want to stop the tape right now, or you have some more tape on it? I'm going to discuss with you now the authority of the Talmud Bavli. This is perhaps one of the most difficult topics of analysis, because from a purely historical point of view, one gets the impression that its authority is shrouded in the mystery of the 6th and 7th centuries, and maybe the 8th and 9th. But just one moment before I start that, I must mention something with reference to Bezdin Hagadol. In fact, one of the main reasons for my discussion of this topic is because Rabbi Schachter had said something in his discussion which I must take a very, very strong issue with in reference to Bezdin Hagadol. I've discussed this with him extent. I don't see his position, and I'll have to rediscuss it with him if he persists. But when I spoke to you before about the authority of the Bezdin Hagadol in terms of human action. Remember, we spoke just a while ago about the thought and its status. But in terms of action, in opposition to the Bezdin Hagadol, under absolutely no circumstances whatsoever, can this be done. Someone might be quick to point out epis here or epis there, but that epis here, epis there is totally insignificant. And what I'm referring to is whether the person thinks he is absolutely right, and he thinks the Bezdin Hagadol is dead wrong, he must follow the hachra of the Bezdin Hagadol. The raya pshuta to that is the Zakin Mamre himself, who has violently disagreed with the Bezdin Hagadol. He's gone back home, in the quiet and stillness of his home, of course, with Adim, has followed his own psak and his chayav misa. And believe me, he's not chayav misa for being a tzaddik. This is crucially important. Now, I gave a little kvetch here or there, because there are problems of Horoz Bezdin where they go contrary to the facts of nature. There's a Gemara that discusses Bezdin making a Horoz that it's night and it was actually day and it's actually night. You see, these are essentially non-interpretive in terms of facts. But I'm discussing in terms of interpretations, going back into history, evaluations, anything that revolves around evaluation. Not scientific fact. There's absolutely no circumstances under which he can go contrary to the psak of the Bezdin Hagadol. Of course, someone's going to quote this Gemara, that Gemara, will handle it. But this is absolutely clear. There's no question about it. The Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, some of you may have seen the Sefer HaChinuch on this particular issue. He said, You can think the Bezna Gadol is dead wrong. You're supposed to do what they say. And the Chinuch, you know, with Taimi HaMitzvah says, let them be wrong. If you follow your view, in other words, from a practical point of view, you must follow what they say. Otherwise, it will lead to total anarchy. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo did not want anarchy. Because once there is anarchy, the entire halachic system collapses. And it will probably end up to be a tzenu arena, if you know what I mean. Now I want to discuss the authority of the Talmud. When I speak about the Talmud, I refer to the Talmud Bavli. I'm leaving out the Talmud Yerushalmi, because the general attitude of Rishonim was that what's in the Yerushalmi is, in a sense, in the Bavli, although, of course, there are disputes. But I'm discussing the Talmud Bavli. What is the authority of the Talmud Bavli? On what basis? I'm going to sound somewhat heretical, but I have to do this for dramatic purposes. Rabat Gezokta Halachi. Was he in a Bezna Gadol? The Bezna Gadol didn't exist from the times of the Churban Abayas. And even if you kvetch Torah in the Rambam, there's some Torah you can say in the Rambam that until the times of Abay and Rabbah, there was a Bezna Gadol. It's plenty gekvetched, although you can say that way. But certainly in the times of Ravina and Ravashi, there was no Bezna Gadol in the solid sense of Bezdin Shalayan Aleph. It was out. It was gone. In fact, I have another ayah. You know, there must have been a Bezdin during the Shivim Shana of the Churban Bayis Rishain. And there was no Lishkas HaGozis there, and there was no Yerushalayim there that they were sitting next to the Lishkas HaGozis. And there's no doubt that the Chachmei Adar were functioning then. So let's get down to this issue. What is their authority? Why do we have to listen to them? Was? El zok dasva, Rab zok dasva, Ich zok dasva, Ravina zok dasva, Ich zok. I, Ravina, is a bigger Talmud Chacham, so what? You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik is a bigger Talmud Chacham than me, and I still say Svar is in opposition to him. Is anybody, they might call me a shtikal achutzbenik. You know, once in a while I might even have a better Svar, a Sitchav Teichet, right? Once in a while. Once in a while it happens. I can, and you know what? If I can disagree with him, I can do what I like. You think you can paskin? I paskin another way. Somebody told me there was a shayla about Enfamil. I think I'm right anyway. The shayla with Enfamil, it's a baby liquid. They found out that one part in 67 is a meat base. So it's a problem of Bishul Basi Bechalov. Somebody told me that he asked it. I don't think he did. It's Batal Beshishim. There's a Rajba Mele. All right. Yeah, but it's not Svaris. Everybody says Svaris, right? You know, Dine Torah. I mean, you don't have to. So why can't I argue with Ravina Ravashi? You like Ravina Ravashi? I'll pick on Rav Chama. Somebody's not as popular. What is their authority? What is their authority? Now, for this we come to a chinuch. This is not going to be the ultimate idea, but I want to start with the chinuch because it's very important in modern times. The chinuch says that the concept of lo sosur, not going against the dictates, in whatever form the dictates may manifest themselves, of the Bezna Gadol, he says, Yesh b'chlal mitzvah zu, not to transgress the dictates. And the halachic formulations of the chachamim of any dor, the halacha of Yiftach b'daro k'shmuel b'daro, applies in all generations. The only thing you can say about today's generation is maybe they're no gedolei ador, or they're too divided, or they don't have one opinion. And they have every opinion that you want, so you can do what you want. Balu Yetzura, you had. Ich weiß, all the rabbis, the rabbinical organizations got together, of course, excluding certain rabbinical organizations, with the Rashim and Chachamim, and they made certain decisions. Of course, we got to include the Rabbanus HaRashis, Ich weiß, Mestamel, the Eidah HaRedis, too. I mean, bring them all together. I shouldn't say the word Aguda Achas. I don't mean it. Yeah, I'm not an Agudist, so what's the chilek? So Bizman Hazeh, this is very important because you hear people saying, well, there's no such thing as Chachamim saying things today, those are bygone days today, Isha Yoshebein of Yaseh. The Chinuch says not that way, and in terms of actual halacha lemaisa, we have no right to dispute it because there are other Rishonim who maintain the same view as the Chinuch, except the Chinuch spells it out quite clearly. You see this from a Rabbeinu Tam, you see it from a Ramban. And you see from the Rambam, and as a result, we have to submit to their will. It's unfortunate, however, that you cannot say that we have. I mean, I am aware enough to say that the fact that the Rosh Yeshivas got together in Paskin, I can't say that because, you know, certain issues, because there are other great Chachamim that have not been involved, not Perech, they haven't gotten together. So I'm not making any halacha l'maisa, but you should understand that Bizman Hazeh, the concept of Shaykh, whether it applies in force, is a very tenable, debatable question. Oh, but in terms of the authority of the Talmud, we're going to do a little pilpul here, a little reasoning. If you find holes in it, to just plug them up for the while, hold on till the bitter end. So therefore, what do we see? We know, as a matter of Hanhogas Klal Yisroel, listen to this very carefully, that Mimei Chasimas HaTalmud, whether you define Chasimas HaTalmud as one moment in history, or a period of 50 to 100 years, because Rav Ashi lived very long, and Ravina, and the Rabbanan Savaroi, and how to precisely marba Rav Ashi. But, all right, it's not a point. It's an interval. But at the end of that interval, the Rambam stresses that the Talmud Bavli, except where the Talmud Bavli itself did not resolve certain controversies and certain issues. But on the issues that were resolved in the Talmud Bavli, there was a hachra of kol chachmei hador orubam. And as a result of what I told you, B'Shem Achinuch and the other Rishenim, a violation of what the Chachmei HaGemara have said. Now, you know, there are many things in the Gemara that are not the product of the Beis Din HaGadol. The Beis Din HaGadol, in the strict sense of the Beis Din Shel Ayin Aleph B'Lishkas HaGozis B'Yerushalayim, which came to an end at the time of the Churban HaBayis. That is the strict Beis Din HaGadol. But there is the Chachmei Hador that I was speaking about before. And therefore, that was a decision of the Chachmei Hador. And for reasons we shall soon discuss, Miyamei Chasimas HaTalmud Lo Nitan L'Shum Adam Lachlok Al HaTalmud. We cannot be chaylik on them. I'm now discussing Maise, by the way. We cannot be chaylik l'maise on them. Nowheres will you find in Achreinim, Rishenim, and later Ge'enim. I'm making certain limitations on early Ge'enim and Rabbanan Savaroi, because as I said, the Chasimas HaTalmud involved a completion over an interval of time, which has to be more precisely defined. But it's a davar barer that Rishenim, we're not chelik. Now you may find Pshat Narishan Azai, Pshat Epistepis, it doesn't jive. But in all those cases, it does not relate to halachic issues. Never in my experience, and if someone is prepared, see, to show me that it's so, I'd like to see it. Because there were times I made a very thorough investigation of this. There's a very interesting Tesis Yamtif in Maseches Nazir Perikei, where the Rambam gives a pshat in a Mishnah opposed to a perush of certain Amorayim. But the Tesis Yom Tov is quick to point out that Rambam does not affect halacha. It's a pshat, like we learn pshatim. You fellows say pshat in a pasuk. I say pshat in a pasuk. Chazal learned a different pshat in a pasuk. This goes into the realm of agadeh, agadete. And that has to be discussed separately. I'm discussing the halachic realm. There is no machlekes. Absolutely no machlekes. And I've just given you a simple hesber. The simple hesber is that was the equivalent of Beis Din HaGadol. It was the Chachmei Hador, and we had to listen to them. The only question you might ask is, could, now I'm coming to an even more sensitive issue, could, if all the rabbis got together, we said, they are Chachmei Hador. All right, so I said, no individual can be cholek l'maise on the bezdino shel Ravina v'Ravashi. Why? Because that was a hachra of a chachmei hador. That was the hachra of a bezdin, and we are enjoined by the Easter of Lo Susser. Yeah. All right. So no individual can, but you know there has been a movement It's quieted down lately. There's been a movement, and some of you are familiar with certain political issues of the past 50 years, 100 years, will know that I'm touching on certain very touchy issues. What about reinstituting a new organization of Chachmei Adar? And we say, well, could they be Chelek and Ravina and Ravashi? Could they be Chelek and Ravina and Rashi? Theoretically, based on what we have said so far, there should be no objection. After all, Yiftach Bedaro, Kishmuel Bedaro. Didn't we say before that as long as it does not touch on the divinity of the Ara law, but it only involves Perushim and into creative legislation and corrective legislation and Gansamaisis, there is a basis. Is there a basis? I contend that there is not. We still cannot be Cholek. Why not? Before I discuss the why not for this, there's one thought that I've omitted. But as things stand at present, we do not have a Bez Nagadol, and we certainly lemaise chas v'chalila cannot be chilek on the Bez Dino Shel Ravina v'Ravashi. What about being chilek in Svara? Yeah, Ravina and Ravashi, I follow their law. I don't like their ideas, though. I think they made some serious errors, and their history is a little off, and a few other things are a little off. Just being a little dramatic, that I should say this evening. So I say to you in reference to this right now, what I told you before about the Beis Din HaGadol, you remember what I told you before about the Beis Din HaGadol? That this is a matter that requires very careful consideration. The Beis Din HaGadol would have to see where the propagation of opposing ideas endangered the kiyum of the halacha or not. Our great problem is today, though, that if someone deigns to controvert the Talmud, Beis Dino Shel Ravina v'Ravashi, he deigns to controvert it, there is no Beis Din to see whether it's dangerous or it's not dangerous. Somebody delivers a speech disagreeing with Ravashi or this or that, there's no Beis Din. What I'm pointing out, however, is before I finish my drasha, there's going to be something of a more serious nature. But at this point, there is something at least. This is an issue that has to be handled with a great deal of care. Great deal of care. Because with reference to the Beis Din HaGadol, the Rambam already said, based on the Gemara, as I pointed out, that you cannot just freely propagate. Because free propagation can endanger the people's confidence in the halakhic structure. But now I want to get to the more basic issue. Can we be chelik on the Beis Dino Shel Ravina v'Ravashi? This is a very crucial topic. There were those who wanted to be Mechadesh the Sanhedrin, and this was one of the reasons. I'm not going to discuss their motivations, whether they were holy or unholy. That's unimportant. I'm concerned right now with whether such a power exists or not. Now, of course, you might wonder to yourself, what's the shout? What's the Rambam already? Chidush HaSmicho, Chidush HaSanhedrin. This has absolutely nothing to do with that problem. And I hope you don't know the problem, so you won't worry about it. But somebody will tell you there's a problem, but it's not a problem. The Rambam, Igaris Reb Shvira Gaon, all the Rishonim that I know about, said about the Talmud Bavli, Olav ein lehosif, umimenu ein ligroa. There can be no addition, and there can be no diminution. By the way, when I speak about the Beis Dino Shel Ravina v'Ravashi, I do not want to play down Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and the Chibur HaMishnah. Basically, when I speak about Hasimas HaTalmud, there was a transitional process, and there's a whole historical process here which I can't go into now. But Hasimas HaTalmud in terms of Beis Dino Shel Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and finally and completely with Beis Dino Shel Ravina v'Ravashi. As Chazal say, Sof hora ninhu. There can be no further legislation, at least in the realm of creative legislation, in terms of d'oraisa concepts as generated from Yud Gimel Midos, from Svara, from Pshat and Pasuk. I know some of you find this very restrictive and, constraining to the human spirit. But that's what I'm going to make an effort to explain. But as far as I can see, the Rambam, the others, describe... I need a hesber for this. Why is this so? The Rambam speaks about the Chachmei Hador from Moshe Rabbeinu till Bez Dino Shover Ravashi. He has a new term. Chachmei HaKabbalah. Did I use that term before already? No. See, I've spoken about Bezdin HaGadol. I've spoken about Chachmei Hador. The Rambam explains that the special yichus running through Bezdinu Shel Ravashi was because they represented Chachmei HaKabbalah. Now, Chachmei HaKabbalah does not relate to Jewish mysticism. Chachmei HaKabbalah means this. Torah was studied Bi'al Peh, Midor Doros. When Torah is studied Bi'al Peh, and when Torah is transmitted Bi'al Peh, the stature and the madrega of learning is on a level almost inconceivable to us. Not going to like this, because it's saying someone's better than us. But as I quoted to you from the Rambam before in Perash HaMishnayis, the Ruach Elokim Kodshin Bey, that the Ma'atike Hadas were able to transmit and interpret Torah going through these 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Ashi on a madrega of Torah being Bi'al Peh. And once, there was already a commitment to writing in the times of Rabbi, but never a full commitment. But once in the times of Ravina and Rav Ashi was committed to writing, meaning that what? That future generations were to study Torah in the main mitoch haksav. Now, I know from my own experience, once a person's thoughts, and certainly this is true with the Bezdino Shel Ravin of Ravashi and perhaps the Rabbanan Savaroi in that interval time, once they put down, then from then on Torah was going to be studied mitoch haksav. Now, the teva, what you put down, is only a fraction of what is b'machshava. And as a result, he speaks of them as Chachmei HaKabbalah because there came a termination. There was a termination in the total comprehensive Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh. And once, why did this happen? It shouldn't have happened. You protest? I protest too. But that is the result of history. Jewish suffering, Jewish galus, created not only a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not only a destruction of Jewish national life, it subjected the Torah to a weakened state. Chazal say, Kasheh si lukan shel chachmei Yisrael kiflayim kechurban Beis HaMikdash. Because as a result of the Golosin, you think when you prave, Sfira, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died, and then Nebuch is given at Sora, so there are other rabbis around. There was a loss in Torah Shebaal Peh. And it was at the times of Ravina veRavashi where there's a total realization that the totality of Torah Shebaal Peh could not be transmitted in the traditional implied or directed method Mimos Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a cut and there was a blueprint set down in the form of our Talmud which we were to study, from which we were to interpret and not legislate. We were to interpret through the blueprint of the Talmud what the Kavanas Chazal was. And when the Rambam speaks about the love of Lo Sosur in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he speaks about the Isur Lachleik Al Bali HaKabbalah, because there is a separate status. And that's when I spoke before about Bezdin HaGadol. When I spoke to you about Bezdin HaGadol, according to what I'm saying now, it was only Bezdin HaGadol representing the totality of the Chachmei HaKabbalah. And as a result, not only is there a lav of Lo Sosur with respect to them, because they are, according to the Shitas HaChinuch, at least Gedolei Ador of them, and according to the Rambam Shita, a special status, and perhaps the most important historically, Chachmei HaKabbalah. But this indicates something else. If we cannot disagree, it's because, in other words, that means with the end of the Chachmei HaKabbalah, our legislative powers came to an end, especially with respect to the creative interpretation of Torah. Now, this is very important. There are people in Eretz Yisrael who are demanding that certain revisions in the Torah be made. It's tough to run a Jewish state. Some say, well, tough to run a Jewish state, let's develop a new concept that Hanholas HaMedina is Deich Shabbos. Not using an idea of Pikuach Nefesh, anything like that. A new concept. This is Asur. Asur Lahosi Viligroa. Why is it Asur Lahosi? We cannot do it because we do not have the knowledge, the comprehensive knowledge of Torah Shebaal Peh. We were confined and restricted due to Golus. This is our, we're in Golus now, we're in Eretz Yisrael, wherever we are living in a Golus of Torah. We do not have the Kabbalah. We have lost the legislative power, and we have only the interpretive power. Don't despair. The interpretive power is not small. It's very immense and very powerful, provided you don't do one thing. You are not chelik on the Chachmei HaKabbalah. And you do not say that Ravina is wrong, or Beis Hillel is wrong, or this one is wrong, and that one is wrong, because their wisdom is above our wisdom. Now, you may not like this, but this is, I understand it, the concept of Chachmei HaKabbalah, and it's only for that reason that we cannot be chelik on them. And therefore, and now I'm coming to a very crucial point. I've been speaking disagreement in terms of Maisa. That's certainly out. But although I said that a Zokin in the times of the Bezdin HaGadol might or might not have the right to propagate his views with varying degrees of intensity in Svara, we cannot be cholek al Balei HaKabbalah even in Svara. What we can do is, well, if the Gemara didn't say this, I might toy along this way. My mind would have gone this way. But we must discard it. Why must we discard it? Because we said that the power of the Chachmei HaKabbalah is not just in the power, in terms of power, authoritative force, but their Das HaTorah, excuse me boys, I have to take off this tie. Their Das HaTorah is on a different level. In fact, I was speaking to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik about this point, and he said, although it can be disputed, even if there were to be Yemos HaMashiach tomorrow, and we were to set up a Beis Din Chveis, even a Beis Din HaGadol with a Beis HaMikdash, we cannot be chelek on the Talmud Bavli. Why not? Because we'd lost the Chachmei HaKabbalah. There's no Chachmei HaKabbalah anymore. I have one teretz. Some of you may think it's a gimmick, but I don't think so. Because there's a pasuk we're soon going to read in Malachi. Inani shaleich lachem es Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi is one of the Chachmei HaKabbalah. If you want that as a saving grace, some of you may think it's a joke, but I'm dead serious about it. See, what's threading through all of this is you must be committed to emunah. The Navi says, Hineni shaleich lachem es Eliyahu ha-Navi. That means something. All right. Now, as a result of this, to be cholek in svara, we've taken care of lemaisa already. But I'm telling you, even lemaisa, there are philosophies rampant today, especially in the schools of Chachmas Yisrael, that will express views contrary to the Gemara, and they will say, well, we don't mean it lemaisa, but they do mean it lemaisa, because change in halacha is imperceptible. And this is extremely dangerous, and it violates the whole concept of Ein Lahosif Veligroa Al Chachmei HaKabbalah. Now going over to the realm of Svar. I'm actually a little disorganized here. I'm jumping a little because I didn't write the whole drasha out. But there is to be cholek in Svara on the Chachmei HaKabbalah in the realm of Halacha, once again, is first of all, it's sheer impudence. I can add a little gaive and mix in a few other bad traits, because there is another school of thought that says that just as the Chafetz Chaim could disagree with Chveis Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim could disagree with Chveis Friedrich Reb Yoshe Ber, and Reb Yoshe Ber could disagree with the Vilna Gaon, the Vilna Gaon could disagree with Reb Yosef Karai. Keep going, kids. Back to the Rambam, back to the Gainin, back to Ravina, back Ad Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu Bichlal. Now, our Masara tells us, in view of this concept of Chachmei HaKabbalah, that with the termination of the Chachmei HaKabbalah, we cannot be chalek on Svar, and it would be sheer impudence. But more than that, and I may be going out on a limb, but perhaps out of the heat of discussion and the passion of the thoughts, being chalek in Svara and evaluations on the Chachmei HaKabbalah is practically tantamount to kfira. Why? How do we define kfira before? One aspect of kfira. If you are cholek on the authenticity of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral divine law, and the Chachamim who transmit it, you are a kofir. I'll give you an example. Let's bring it down to brass tacks. What if somebody doesn't believe in Purim? Doesn't believe in the whole Yom Tov. Why shouldn't he believe it's such a nice Yom Tov? But that kind of believing isn't where it's bupkis. He doesn't believe in it because he studied the annals of the Persian kings, and he didn't find any written records. He didn't find, was Kemen Khan, he didn't find written records. And because he didn't find any written records about the event of Purim, it didn't happen. Chachamim talk about it. It's a Megillah. This is Kefir al-Magideha. I think this is tantamount to Kefira. If somebody comes along and says, because I tell you one thing, if that is not Kefira, then nothing will be Kefira. Because then if you say the Chachamim received the oral law, or anything, you say, how do I know? I can find this, I can find that. That is intrinsic to Emunah. You want Yediyah? Then experience God constantly. Walk up to heaven and experience God. In terms of the human experience, it must come from one dramatic experience of Klal Yisrael, and the rest is in the trust and faith of the Masorah. And the Masara is in the hands of the Chachmei HaKabbalah. Someone comes along and says, me, I'm not celebrating Chanukah. What's wrong with Chanukah? Shana Yom Tov. It's especially it gives Jews to do something during the Christmas vacation, Christmas season, because Josephus doesn't say anything about the candles lighting for 8 years. There is one brisa in Shabbos that brings it down, but who knows, it might be a brisa mishabeshta. You've heard about brisa mishabeshtas. This is a brisa. Yeah, this is kfira. You know why? Because it's being kofre b'magideha. And therefore I am suggesting, I'm not certain, but I think this is an avenue that requires further investigation. In the Chasimas HaTalmud, they told us, this is so pora, that the knowledge of Torah has changed in order and kind. The legislative power disappears and the interpretive power becomes the sole function. Then it's like telling us, listen boys, you don't know the Torah Shebaal Peh. You don't know it. Whatever you know is only via the interpretation of the Gemara. For you to supersede the Gemara and say, I don't think he's right, I don't think he's wrong, you are being chilik on them when they say your powers are limited. This is an inyan of being kofer b'magideha, and if it's not kfira mamish, it is karov to kfira. With this, I've essentially... 2 hours, overstayed my stay. I've essentially finished my delivery to you. Many of these points that were made in the past hour may not be perfectly clear, because they're not easy concepts, not easy ideas. I am merely expressing views that I hold to be true, of course, because I hold them to be the views of historic Judaism. And I think this is the das of our Chachamim, Midor Dor. And as I said before, the Rambam doesn't toss around words. Di ruach Elokim kodshin bei. Vein lahosif aleim vein ligro mimen. Let me make one point. Some of you may say, well, weren't there Rishonim and Gaonim that were misaking Girsos? Weren't there Achreinim that were misaking Girsos in the Gemara? That is true. And I will not run away from it. But there's a fundamental difference between being chelik on what they say and trying to accurately determine what they said. If they said something, you know they said something, and you dispute it. It's this about which I am speaking. If a person, but and I say a person, not stam a person, the Meiri says in his Akdamit to Avos, when the Amorayim were misaking Girsos and Mishnayos and Brisos with Chach, Chisur Mechsrei, Vahachiktoni, etc., etc., he said this can be done because in transmission there can be errors in terms of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Why can there be transmissions in the transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh? Because the Torah Shebaal Peh did not have a formal language. When Rebbe was Moser to Talmid, ideas were transmitted. Wording, exact wording was not transmitted, and therefore incorrect wordings can be presented. Torah Shebiksav had correct wording, precise wording, definite form. You cannot be cholik on the form of Torah Shebiksav, but in Torah Shebaal Peh, it's the ideas that were transmitted, not the words, so there can be certain errors cropping up. So the Miri says, the generations soon after, the Chasimus HaMishneh, could make corrections. But in making their corrections, he said, the Chachmei Hador, the Gedolei Hador were to make it, and not any Stam Shnuk making Shinuyim in Girsos. So I say that essentially I've concluded my message to you, and I say that this is what I know as historic, traditional, authentic Judaism. And I say I was motivated to much of this by experiences and contacts, and you will be exposed to this in the future. And I want you to be aware, to aware at least of my point of view, which, as I say, I see as the historic, authentic view. Thank you. Yes.